Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. Sex is what brings us into the world, and sex is what motivates us to stick around for a while. And this is a show about sex, with a capital X. We talk about everything related to sex, love, life, and death. Eros and Thanatos. I am the Irreverend Dr. Susan Block, your servant. And I am broadcasting live from Dr. Susie's speakeasy. There are so many speakeasies around these days, and there have been, I guess, ever since the 20s, you know, little underground places and big internet companies, you know, all kinds of speakeasies, but this is the speakeasy, okay? Also known as Dr. Susie's Speakeasy, in the soul of downtown L.A., soon to be a major motion picture, well, hopefully before we die. Okay, no, he left me all alone, I know. I have others in my studio tonight, others whom I will be introducing you to shortly. Can we give my friend Sister Sarah some volume here? She's motivated. She's possessed by the spirit of sex. Hallelujah. All right. And we're here. We're working through technical jungles. Trying to get to you, baby. We want to get to you. We really want to talk to you about your sex questions, problems, pleasures, fantasies, fetishes. And our number is 213-749-1330. If you're anywhere in the world, you can call that number. That's basically our regular number. And then if you're in North America, we will pay for the call. That's how desperate we are to talk to you. And our number is 1-866-289-7068. Aren't we desperate? Yeah. Do you have... Oh, there's your volume. Okay, there's your volume.
We are never desperate here at the Speakeasy.
Well, not you were certainly desperate to have your microphone turned on.
Well, that
there.
Was... I was a little desperate.
Yes, you were.
I just hate being left out.
Yes, I understand. Well, we're getting ourselves together again. And by the way, this is a very special show tonight. Why is that?
Ooh, I just got a successful playback from our own stream, Radio Suzy One.
Oh, hey, we are beating the technical demons. We are. And we're kind of here, just the family, just the Speakeasy Bonobo gang. It's Bonobo, right. Bonobos, the Make Love Not War chimpanzees who are inspiration. And it's just us. We don't have a special guest in studio. We are going to talk to a special guest on the phone in a little while. But we do have several people lined up to talk to us. So, let's see. I don't know if I have anybody that wants to give me some feedback on these people and who I should take first, or should I just go down the line? Start with line one. Paul from Toronto. He's the farthest away,
I guess. Paul from Toronto. Fucking a paper girl is what it says here. Paul, are you there? Yes, Paul?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so welcome to Radio Susie One.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, okay, so we're both welcome, and now we're getting a little feedback. Okay, just be patient, caller and listeners, as we explore the concept of technology. All right, so Paul,
yes.
Did I accurately repeat what you had said to Felicia, our receptionist here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so is this a fantasy, or is this something you just did, or something you're going to do?
No, I actually did it today.
You did it today, the paper girl. The girl that, like, delivers papers to your apartment building, or...
To my house, yes.
Your house, you live in a house.
Yeah, and luckily my wife is out of town.
Your what?
Wife.
Your wife? I thought I heard wife, and I wasn't sure. Your wife is out of town.
Yes.
And so this is like a suburban type house?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's a desperate house husband.
I guess so. I don't know. How did this happen, you and the paper girl?
Well, I'm 49 years old.
Yes.
And she just turned 18.
Well, I'm glad she's overage. You just made it in over the wire.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And,
Does she have a uniform that she wears as a paper girl, or just her own clothes?
Oh, no, just, usually a nice outfit.
Mm-hmm. What is that sound? Can we turn down whatever's blaring? Okay, we've got some sound issues here. So, Paul, have you been eyeing the paper girl for some time?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh, and so how did it happen?
Well, she knocked on the door. Usually my wife answers the door to pay the bill.
Oh, right. Okay.
She's out of town, so the door knocked. She knocked on the door.
Yeah.
I went to get it, and it was Susanna, our paper girl.
Oh, Susanna.
Yeah, and she says, it'll be $10, Mr. White. I said, okay.
Mr. White, is that your name?
Yes, it is.
Is this your real name, Paul? I don't even want to know your real name, I don't think. Okay, never mind.
It's your imagination name.
Okay.
And I said, okay, just a moment. So I went into my room to get my wallet.
Uh-huh.
And when I was down there, came back, she was rubbing her pussy.
She was rubbing her pussy.
Oh, I do that.
Yeah, when you deliver papers?
I've never delivered papers.
When you just kind of are in a strange guy's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just sit down on the couch and rub your pussy.
Well, I think she wanted me to.
Yeah, I guess so, if she was rubbing her pussy on your couch.
So anyway, I pulled down my pants right there and said, you want to suck it?
Uh-huh. You know, you lost me at Mr. Smith. I don't believe you. I'm sorry. I find this story interesting, a little titillating, a little worrisome with the, you know, just over 18 thing, but basically unbelievable.
So what happened?
Well, okay. Congratulations on doing something unbelievable. and saying your name is Paul Smith right on the radio.
Only because she said Mr. Smith. That became unbelievable. Nobody says that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a the Mr. Smith. That
I do sometimes if I'm really into someone. Be like, oh, Mr. Gibson.
I've heard you do that at the speakeasy. But not when you're delivering papers. No, actually, she could have said it, but then you wouldn't say it. I mean, you know, aren't you worried that your wife might hear?
Not really.
Why aren't you worried?
I don't give a shit.
Okay, there you go. So you're ready to, you know, kind of break up the marriage and everything, Paul?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe that's why you're coming out. Do you have kids?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something's a little strange here, Paul. So, I think you should go back inside your little apartment and finish masturbating to your fantasy. Okay? And leave the real Paul Smith from Toronto alone, because right now his wife is very mad at him. But thank you for calling. Okay. Let's... I mean, you know, I'm a very compassionate person, but that wasn't real.
You also have a good time liar spotting.
You think? I mean, I don't think I actually spot him as quickly as a lot of people would. I tend to give a lot. I tend to give people a lot of rope. And he hung himself. All right, let's talk to Jake on line two. Hello, Jake. Okay, let's talk to Stephen on line three. What, this is is Jake there? But line three. Stephen?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Brock. I called you a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I do recognize your voice.
He sounds
yes,
familiar.
Ma'am, it's Stephen.
Stephen, that's right. Well... Right,
yes, ma'am.
Stephanie.
Even I, a 50-year-old virgin, could tell that Paul was lying.
You could. Was it when he said that she said Mr. Smith? Was that when, or when could you tell?
Yeah, I was thinking Mr. and Smith, the movie with... did you see that movie?
Yes.
With Brangelina?
Yeah, the two assassins, and they're both licensed to kill each other.
Yes, that movie. And
yeah, and he sounded like he had a sore throat, or he had the flu or something.
Or he was jacking off.
Or, yeah, he was just husky, had that husky, I am turned on by myself and my amazing ability to fool radio talk show hosts.
And that's coming from a 50-year-old virgin who's ashamed of his body. That's pitiful.
Well, that's one way of putting it, Stefan.
You're pretty upset about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have pity on people like that, which is why we didn't treat him worse. We actually were very gracious to him.
I don't even pity him. I go,
God bless him.
Whatever.
I do.
God bless him and God change him, right, ma'am?
And the goddess as well.
Who cares?
He needs help from the goddess.
God help him, right?
Sure.
Ew, no. I'm not on board with that. You
not with God? You have a more of a serious relationship
not
with God.
Not the God thing and not the pitying the guy thing. Like, he was just a horny dude. Whatever.
He was, and
no shame
he was trying to express
show.
Himself, and, you know, I mean, he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't bombing anybody. And probably he wasn't really doing that, which would be kind of a messed up thing to do.
And even if he was, who cares? 18-year-old milk lady? Was she
milk lady.
What
no,
was
no.
She?
Paper.
I don't
paper?
Think so. I've
okay.
Never heard of
Let's talk about Stefan, because that guy
yes,
does
ma'am.
Not deserve any more airtime.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
I want to get over my shame and my loathing of my personal male parts.
Good for you. So
let's
talk about
penis.
Those male parts. Don't make fun of Stefan now. This is the non-making fun of show.
Girl that I love.
Yes. Okay.
My cat's on my lap, and he wants loving. James,
aww.
Get down.
Your cat. You don't mean your pussy,
he'll
do you?
Play some more, James.
Pussy? Can you say pussy?
His name's James Bond.
No, but I mean the word. Can you say that? Pussycat?
Pussycat.
There you go. All right. How about penis cat?
Testicle kitty?
You
can say testicle, but not penis. Come on.
Yeah.
You said it last time you were on. Let's just get it out of the way now. Get it out of the way so we don't have a cheering section that's going to start
penis!
Helping us. See, it's already starting, so no more.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Okay, they're all yelling it. Okay, here, he said it. He said
no,
it.
No,
it's just that I feel whenever I say something like that, it's filthifying the people around me.
No. Say this. Whenever I say penis, I feel that it is filthifying the people around me, which it isn't, of course. Why do you feel that it's such a filthy word? Why are is a penis more filthy than testicles? Or than a pussycat? Or than, you know, a gun? Or
That's
anything.
One thing I also wanted to tell you. That's one of my very favorite hobbies, is to target shoot.
Ah.
And I find it very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a friend who's taking psychology classes, and he says, you may be using target shooting as a physical metaphor.
Yes, of course.
For sex.
Yes, 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 of course. That's what everybody does with a gun. Shoot the gun between your legs. That's what I say. I mean, target practice, sure. You know, it's a sport. Go for it.
I have 372 guns.
That's more than a sport. That's an obsession. That's crazy, and now you're scaring me.
Well, a lot of them are from my dad from World War II. He brought home from World War II.
Oh, okay, World War II.
How
guess
many?
They don't really work that
How many
much.
Were your dad's?
300.
Okay.
300? Your dad had 300 guns from World War II?
Yeah, a lot
he
of people.
Had
really? That's
World War II, Korea, Vietnam.
All right.
A lot of people.
Okay, but guns, yes, they're a way to, to channel your sexual energy that you obviously repress to a great degree, to such a degree you can't even say the word penis without spluttering a tremendous amount, you know, and you're a 40-year-old virgin. And 50, excuse me. You have a young voice. And
thank you.
I like you a lot, Stefan. I do. You have a very nice personality, but you're a little twisted. You're a little twisted. You haven't had sex, and you're 50? And you can't say these
23rd.
Basic words, and you have 372 guns.
And we have to call our guests, Susan.
Okay. So we have a guest, actually, tonight that we've made an appointment with.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought we could... Okay. So
I was just wondering, where should I go to get... where in my area do you think would be a good place to find help?
Well, you're in Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from, and that's a horrible state for things like this. Unless you're in Philadelphia. Are you in Philadelphia?
No, I'm in Central PA.
Yeah. It's very conservative.
You can find
But you can still find a therapist.
Should
you can always find a therapist.
Do I look for a sex therapist? Or?
I would say so. I would say we're talking about sex here. I would say you could talk to me off the air when we have plenty of time and I don't have guests to put on the show, you know? I would say
that
wouldn't be a bad thing for you to do, but of course you'd have to pay a little...
Well,
money
you have
for
to pay
it.
In Pennsylvania,
yeah,
you
have to pay for a therapist regardless. So the question is, do you need to see a therapist in person? And no, I don't think you need to. I think that you can certainly go a long way towards working through your hang-ups and...
My shame.
Your shame and
Even
your guilt,
school,
and you can do that over
I
the phone.
I wouldn't shower because I was embarrassed because everybody would be going, hide it, and they'd start vomiting.
Well, no one did that, did they?
Well, I never did anything. I never showered in high school.
Well, that's pretty bad. I'm surprised they didn't vomit from that, not showering. Anyway, Stefan, what I would suggest is that you... talk to a therapist, because it sounds like you do have a lot to talk about. You have a lot to go through about your feelings from high school, about your feelings from your parents. You know?
Oh, my dad, he was always, you know, if you want to, you know. But Mom was always saying things like the ugliest, most putrid, most vomity thing in the universe.
I know, you told us about that. Anyway, listen, here's what I'm going to suggest that you do, and then I got to go. Because I have to talk to a guest. Okay, Stefan? So you can either call me during the week, and then, of course, you have to pay for it. Or you can try calling me again in about 40 minutes on this number.
Well,
and then,
I have to get some sleep for church tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, then you have to do that. But, you know, we got to go. And what I would suggest is that you have a lot of talking to do, and you have to put a little bit of your money towards getting a therapist, either me or somebody else. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome. You didn't say thank you.
I kind of like you because it's no direct face-to-face, and
that's,
I think if I were to talk over it face-to-face, I'd want to hide my face.
I understand. That's one of the benefits of talking
on
the phone.
I'll call you Monday.
Okay. I will be here Monday, and I will look forward to talking with you, Stefan.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
You have a nice night.
You do. You too. God and Goddess bless you. And the devil, too, because you need all the blessings you can get. Okay. So this is the Dr. Susan Block Show on Radio Suzy 1, and we try to help you. But sometimes it takes a little more than just talking on the radio, and you've got to get some serious therapy, which you can get from us or your local counselor. So we have Mia on line one from Twitter. Mia. Twit Mistress Mia, welcome to Radio Suzy 1.
Penis cat.
There you go, see?
See, I can say it.
It's the word.
Penis cat.
Yeah, penis cat. It's actually, that's the name for this show. Okay. Sometimes the name for the show occurs in a flash. So, Mia.
Yes.
You have quite what they call a following on Twitter.
I do. Yeah.
And we're very impressed with that.
Oh, thank you.
And with the love that your followers give you.
Well, yeah, they do give me some good love.
And you give it back in your way.
I try to. Yeah.
You do. So tell us a little about yourself and your life on Twitter.
Well, I've been a blogger for about 9 years now. And I was very lucky enough to discover Twitter back when it first started. A lot of the, I saw Ev tweeting and Clintus and whatnot, and I followed them over and started off very slow at first.
Ev is the CEO of Twitter, for those who don't know.
We all knew that.
I knew that, but I imagine Brother Max did not know that.
I have no idea who this guy is.
Ev is the CEO of Twitter, and he still Twitters, and he's one of the more boring
Twitterers. Can I get Mia's Twitter name again so I can shout her out?
I love Jack. I am in love with Jack. Jack's Twitters. He's Twittering right now from Iraq.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm in love with you, but, you know, I have my Twitter loves as well.
What is Mia's Twitter name so I can give her a
Mia. It's just Mia. She's that early on in the game. She's a pioneer. She's an early adopter. Right. So go on.
Exactly. I started off pretty soon after Twitter had just opened, and it was completely different from how it is now. And I'd say in the last year or so, all of the attention that it's gotten from media outlets and whatnot, it's definitely helped it grow, and that's where most of my followers have come from.
It's since I've been on that it's grown, really.
Mm. Exactly, yeah.
I guess I got on there in May of last year, but I didn't really get on. It was Terry or something that was Twittering for me. I thought Twitter was not something that I should do by myself.
Right.
But and some people do have their assistants Twitter for them.
They do.
Or their cats. Or their penis cats.
Penis cat!
Penis cat!
Penis cat!
But, you know, I mean, it's so enjoyable in a way, and it needs such a personal touch in order to be compelling, I think.
Definitely.
And you give it a major personal touch.
I really try to. I try to be different.
And you have 8,126 followers at this moment.
Wow.
And you are following 8,124, so there's two people that you're not following that are following you. And they're pissed off. You're going to lose them any minute now.
I know, right?
So, now, are you married or do you have a boyfriend? Or
I do have a boyfriend.
Really? Is he on Twitter?
He is.
He is?
Yeah.
And does he have a lot of followers?
I think he's pretty close to what I am in terms of followers.
Oh, really? So does Twitter, do you have Twitter sex?
We do not.
Is he Jason L. Moore?
I'm sorry?
You think you might do that? You might have Twitter sex?
You know what? He's listening, and I'm pretty sure that once I hang up with you, we might actually have Twitter sex.
And, you know, I give it a very loose definition. I mean, as long as you Twitter something about sex that's kind of real, I think that that's Twitter sex.
Well, you know? Now I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think your followers would double. I mean, they would just be RTing you all over the place.
Well, now do I need to add the hashtag for Twitter sex on there?
Well, I would prefer, yes. I mean,
okay,
you know, we would like to be able to find your Twitter sexing, you know. I mean, so, you know, and we do this Twitter Sex Tuesday thing. But it really can be any day because we acknowledge that, you know, Twitter sex is something that you have to seize the moment.
Exactly. It can happen any day.
Right. The point is to share it. Because Twitter is about sharing, right?
Sharing is caring.
I guess. Is that why you are so into it? You're a very sharing, caring person?
I try to be.
Do you feel like, you know, you enjoy revealing your life?
Well, I guess on some level I kind of have to. If I've been blogging for so long, I guess there's that part of me. But, you know, whenever I first got on Twitter, it was the, you know how people joke about how people who don't Twitter themselves, they kind of think that all it is people tweeting, oh, I had a sandwich today, or, oh, I did this today. It's very boring and mundane and whatnot, and that's how I started off. And then, you know, just kind of progressed to a point where you actually have conversations with people, and it's a lot more personal.
Well, I think it's a million different things. I mean, it's so many different things. Some people do constantly write about their sandwiches. I mean, they have whole conversations.
I feel bad I don't write about my sandwiches more. Like, that's, you know, what my audience wants.
I think audience does like that. I don't write about it enough either. I kind of think, what do you want to know my sandwich, you know?
Right.
It's like, why do I want to write about my sandwich? But they're interested. They, like, go yum yum and stuff when you write stuff like that.
I tweeted about having swordfish one time, and everyone was like, swordfish sounds good. Yeah, swordfish. And I was like, all right, guys, it's going to be all food tweets from now on.
But, of course, when you Twitter about sex, it's even... You get a lot of response.
Yeah. I don't as much. I get, like, eyebrows in the hallway at work.
Ah. Well, I mean, but directly, you don't get a direct response. What I hate is when people DM me about sex. They tell me their sex lives. Now, DM, for those of you who don't know, is direct messaging, and that means they're not doing it publicly. And, you know, of course, they figure I'd appreciate that they're trying to be private about their sexual little ideas and stuff, but publicize it.
Right.
That's what I say.
I haven't had any sex DMs yet. What's wrong with me?
I don't know. You know? I mean, I could probably arrange for you to have some, but they're frustrating.
No, I want unsolicited ones.
Mm. So you think you might have Twitter sex now that your boyfriend knows about the idea?
I think so, yeah.
And how would you envision that?
Such a hard question. Well, first off, we've never actually even had any kind of text sex like that, either via text or email or whatnot, so I think it's going to be kind of difficult. We haven't been together that long.
How long have you been together?
About 4 months.
Okay. Well, but you have sex, right?
Yes, we do.
Well, have you ever blogged about the sex?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me understand. Do you have sex in person? I mean,
yeah, they don't text the sex. Okay. That's what she's saying. They don't have text sex.
I mean, you live in the same town and you have sex.
No. We don't live in the same town. It's a long-distance relationship.
Oh, all the more reason try some of these things. How about phone sex? You ever try that?
Oh, we do. We have phone sex.
All right. We're big believers in the phone here.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, but you have never actually physically had sex with him?
No, I have.
You have?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's not that far away. He can get to where you are or something?
They visit each other.
Yeah, he's in California.
I see.
Oh,
okay.
He's in California.
Gotcha.
And you are in Dallas.
I am.
So, where is he in California?
He is in L.A.
Really? Well, you should come out and visit him and then visit the speakeasy together.
I'm going to have to.
Then you should Twitter about it.
I will, definitely.
Well, there's another Twitter sex for you right there. See, my definition of Twitter sex is not that you have to be necessarily like phone sex, where you're going back and forth having sort of a sexual conversation and both of you like jacking or jilling off. That's that is Twitter sex. But my definition is that you could just write about the sex, like, you know, just had sex for breakfast, Twitter sex.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's easy.
It's easy. But, you know, it's a little revealing.
Not as revealing as some people get on Twitter. There are those people on there that, like, there's one guy, I cannot think of his name. It's like your boyfriend or some such. And all of his tweets are sexually suggestive like that.
One? I have a million of them, but maybe that's because of the nature of what I do.
You know who I thought of?
So many followers that
Poon do that. Stabby. You guys know who Poon Stabby is? He Twittered about, like, in graphic detail, taking a shit the other day.
Ew.
And it was like a play-by-play.
Well, for some people it is.
But. I was a little disgusted, but I didn't unfollow him.
Mm. Well, that just shows something about you,
I know.
Sister
maybe,
Sarah.
Maybe I want more of that from him.
Well, I am not going to ask Mia to shit Twitter, or Twitter shit. I guess that's what that would be called. Twitter shit.
I have a question for you, Doctor.
Yes.
Can you tell me what the psychology of Twittering is? Why people feel so pressed? I find it absolutely horrific myself.
Right,
but,
I know.
Except
at a certain
human,
point, when you are not present,
human,
you...
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally, like... What? Bizarre.
Well, I guess you could find it inhuman. Some people find the phone inhuman. Some people find the computer inhuman.
No, I understand. But what drives people? Why would people be sitting there twittering all day?
Okay.
Don't
there's
they have
two
anything
different
else
forces
to do,
that drive people.
Like,
one,
I'm really busy.
Okay.
So, you know.
You want me to answer you?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah,
what's the force that drives people to blog?
I don't know that either.
Okay. But... I mean, don't you think blogging is... don't you understand why that people have a desire to to express themselves?
I do. Okay. I also I understand there's 8 million musicians on MySpace,
right.
Mostly
so they're
bad.
Expressing themselves, too.
Right.
In fact, one thing that's become clear to me is that everyone on Earth, almost, well, let's say, like, 90% have this burning desire to express themselves.
So is that the same thing as in the old days when the whole village was blathering about who was shitting and who was fucking who?
In a way,
and gossip.
Yes, there's a lot of gossiping
goes
on.
Well, okay, gossip is one thing.
But I think
the internet, the blogger, the Twitterer, it's a new way to have instant access to voice your thoughts to the world.
Well,
and they have no choice in it. You can just say it to
and
them.
And it's not just thoughts, it's information.
No, I
understand. It's not just
information,
feelings.
I understand.
But
we're having a volcano.
Exactly.
And people are dying. All that I understand.
Well, but that's a big
I'm taking a shit.
Well, here's the thing. Once you open the door to one thing, it's going to go all the way to the lowest common denominator. You know?
Right.
But that doesn't mean everything else in between is a pile of shit. Just the ending tale is a pile of shit.
I mean, people could be blogging about
most
defecation.
Of it. I understand.
You know, I mean, anything people blog about, they can Twitter about.
Okay.
Except there's more that they
can
Twitter about.
But what is the motivation?
Like,
is it gossip? Is it insecurity?
All of those things.
That you have to talk about yourself constantly?
I don't like being trapped in my own head with my thoughts. I want the world to suffer with me. You know? They need to know what I'm thinking.
That it's the desire to communicate, to express, whether it's to save a life or to just get somebody to hug you.
Right.
You know, either
I
way.
I wish I could save a life with my Twitters.
Yeah,
that would make me feel very justified.
Well, a lot of people trumpet how they save lives.
Like Demi Moore.
Mrs. Kutcher. Have you saved a life with your Twitter yet, Mia?
No, unfortunately, I have not.
And what would you answer, Brother Max, to his question?
What is the motivation?
What is this? The gut motivation of this?
For Twitter?
Yes.
For Twittering, yeah.
It is. It's microblogging. I think it primarily appeals to people who actually have blogged or do regularly blog, but you kind of don't want to do too many of the short blogs. At once, I guess it feels like it's kind of a waste. But with Twitter, you can actually, you can say something that you wanted to say on your blog, and you thought that maybe you're wasting space or whatever, but it's only 140 characters, so, you know, why not?
Convenience.
Okay. That's interesting, the way your whole perspective was
so
about conserving the blog. You
know? Yeah.
So
exactly.
Okay, so then we are eating for our brain thousands, millions of characters at 140 characters per shot. It's like a shot of whiskey.
Yeah, it's a little bit like you're having different shots.
I see.
Sometimes
it
feels like you're mixing all your drinks and it makes you nauseous.
That's pretty dangerous to the brain.
It can be dangerous to the brain, no doubt. This is... but it's the way so many people are communicating.
It feeds into the short attention span generation, you know?
I mean, you know, I noticed that Mia, you know, in addition to having all these followers, which is, of course, wonderful for the ego and for getting your message across, you follow a lot of people. And for a minute there, I was following a lot of people, or a fair amount, at least as many as were following me. And then I did get that kind of vertigo of seeing all of those people trumpeting their stuff at me. And so I started unfollowing people, and then they were unfollowing me. And the first people I was unfollowing were people that weren't following me. And I got people very pissed off saying, you know, don't tell me you're going to unfollow me unless I follow you. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to unfollow you then. But anyway, how can you keep track of who you want to keep track of when you're following over 8,000 people?
I use something called TweetDeck.
TweetDeck
allows you to divide everybody up into columns.
Okay, she's selling me on that.
So I have several columns.
Are you hawking TweetDeck by any chance? Are you?
I am not. I'm not affiliated with them.
Okay. I've been meaning to convert because 1,500 for me is too many to follow. I can't keep track of anybody. If I was 8,000, I'd be screwed.
It's kind of hard to follow those, but you know, and sometimes I do kind of neglect what people say. But if they're in the columns that I made especially, then I can easily follow.
So I have a question from our Mogulus viewers for Mia. This is a Mia fan, is what he calls himself. I suppose it's a he, but I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
Is your boyfriend an actor? Why does he have so many followers?
He is an actor.
What's his name?
David H. Lawrence XVII.
That's a great name.
Oh, my God. I can't write that all out. Where
David H. Lawrence, the 17th.
His Twitter name is D.H. Lawrence.
Oh, okay. You know what? He Twittered something with my name in it, so I'm going to go right through to him through my own thing. Okay. So he is D.H. Lawrence. Yes, he's an actor. Right. And he's the one that said, oh, we love you, or something like that, right? Recently. Well, I guess he says that a lot. Where the hell is he on here? Oh, there he is. Okay, yeah, he's this really kind of intense-looking guy.
Intense-looking guy is a very good descriptor for him.
Yeah. D.H. Lawrence, of course, one of my favorite authors.
Really?
And, oh, look at that! He has a lot of followers, and he doesn't follow that much. So, he is an actor on, let's see. See, I don't watch that much TV. Heroes. On Heroes,
Who
Sarah.
Is he on Heroes?
He is the Puppet Master.
Oh my God, you're dating the Puppet Master?
Wow.
How freaky.
We're impressed. I don't watch, but I am impressed.
That would scare me,
watching.
You know?
I think I'm going to have to watch now.
Does he
No, we're going to have
you?
Him on, and then I'll watch.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I think the question was, does he puppet master you?
Yeah.
Oh, he does, and he does a very good job at it.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, now we're really impressed. He does a very good job. What does puppet mastering mean to you? Or what does it mean at all? What kind of a puppet master is he? I don't watch the show. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, he goes like this, and he throws you up against the wall, and he makes you rub yourself, you know?
Really?
Yes.
That's very kinky.
Yeah.
He does that with you?
That's what I imagine if I was dating the puppet master.
Throws you up against the wall and makes you rub yourself? You got to Twitter sex that, Mia. When in doubt, just keep laughing.
I know, she's all nervous now. She's like, he really does do that.
She doesn't want to say, oh, no.
No, he would never do that.
Are you looking at his Twitter here? Extremely creepy and evil villain Eric Doyle on Heroes on NBC and the BBC, etc. Wow. Eric Doyle, that's the puppet master.
Mm-hmm. And okay. He actually has a webisode series up on NBC.com right now.
Oh, yeah, okay. I saw a preview for that.
Oh, so no wonder he lives in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so listen, you got to come out to L.A., and we got to go to a taping, you know.
A live taping of Heroes. Obviously, Susie's never seen the show.
Never. No. Isn't it like Johnny Carson? I mean, Jay Leno? Or wait, what? Isn't it like, no, I don't know. Heroes is, I guess you can't go to a taping of that.
No. I think they start back up in June or July, I think.
Oh, yeah, they just did the season finale this week.
I shouldn't talk about Jay Leno. Isn't he in the hospital now?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he is. Speaking of gossip, you can gossip just as easily on the radio as through Twitter. All right, well, I now have to watch Heroes. I really wanted to avoid that show. Okay, you have to tell D.H. Lawrence that he's just earned a viewer.
I will tell him.
From
and
you.
He's listening, so he knows.
This is something you have done for him.
And a famous one.
Right. That's right. So he's listening. So hi there. I'm so excited. I really hope that you find something Twitter sexy to do. Something. I mean, it could just be a sexual feeling, just describing a feeling, or shouting out someone you find sexy. I mean, you could just say at D.H. Lawrence, D.H. Lawrence XV, what is that? D.H. Lawrence the 17th?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, in Roman. XV11. You could just shout them out and then say hashtag Twitter sex, and that would be enough.
But no, I would actually come up with something that's more interesting than that.
Well, good, and I would expect that of you. But I'm just saying, this is all that's required. Anyway, Mia, I'm so happy to connect with you via voice.
Yeah, definitely. How long have we followed each other? It's been a while, right?
You know, a little while. I think I gave you that shit about, you know, if you're not going to follow me, I'm not going to follow you. And then you said, okay, suit yourself. And then I stopped following you, and then I decided to follow you because of some other thing, and then you followed me back right away.
Was it because of the
Oh, you guys started it off with some chick drama.
We did. We had a little chick drama, didn't we?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
Now, did you start following me again because of the anal sex tips I posted?
You know, I don't think so. I that doesn't ring a bell as to why I would follow you over anal sex tips.
Unless someone retweeted it for Twitter sex.
Maybe if
it involved Twitter sex, and I thought, oh, Mia is kind of involved with Twitter. Oh, I know what it was. One of the guys that is like a Twitter sex groupie, a really nice guy. He's really cool. And he's always been a follower of the Speakeasy in a way, even before Twitter. Polyby.
Oh, yeah.
He, I think, shouted out Mia as his Twitter sex desire of the day or something. And
oh, I wonder if he's on Mogulus as Mia fan right now.
Yes. And we love Polyby. He's really a cool guy. He's many times RT'd before there was an RT for us. He's constantly, you know, kind of putting it out for the Speakeasy. yeah, he's great. And so he shouted out Mia, and then Mia wrote something cute back, and then I followed Mia, and then she followed me back.
Well, thank you for giving me another chance.
Well, you know, I believe in that. I do.
I followed you right off the bat. No strings attached. You don't have to follow me back either.
Oh, follow Sarah back.
What is her Twitter name?
I'm Sarah Sue. Sarah Siux. I spell it like a dork.
I will definitely follow you.
Nice.
All right. Okay, so Tuesday is Twitter Sex Tuesday. So
I will definitely be participating in that.
Okay. So, what do you say? How do you say goodbye in Twitter land? Tweet you later?
Good night, Twitterverse.
Good night, Twitterverse.
Yeah, I guess you do that.
But that's saying goodbye to everybody.
I was wondering what all those X's were. What does that mean?
Yeah, just
birds
kisses?
Flying, I think, right?
They're just kisses.
Oh, kisses.
Oh, see, I thought they were birds. All right.
Kisses.
Love to connect with you again, Mia.
It was definitely great. Thank you for having me on.
Okay.
Have a good night, guys.
Okay.
Bye, Mia.
Okay.
Bye.
Twitter sexy Tia. Mia.
She's
Twitter
hot.
Sexy Mia. She is. And we're going to keep in touch with her on Twitter and on Radio Suzy 1. And with D.H. Lawrence, the 17th.
Ugh, 17th. I'm going to think about the two of them having evil puppet master sex.
Really?
It's
that's
going to be
wild.
So
now I have to watch Heroes. I know, especially the way you described
I'll
that.
I'll show you the one where he takes Claire and her mom and... Ugh.
Yeah, maybe you could just go to his scene.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
we'll
I don't want to watch the whole thing. You know, come on. But if I'm totally engrossed in his scene, I might have to watch more of the
and
show.
And he is pretty creepy. Uh-huh. You know, pretty scary.
Yeah, he's pretty scary.
Evil villain.
Okay. So now we have a bunch of people waiting on hold. And who should we talk to? I don't even know who's... let's see. Tom from Washington?
Okay. That brings up something. One line always has to be free. So the most doofus person has to be taken off.
Yeah. Yeah, we always have to have it. We always have to free up a line. Okay, but Mia's line is now freed up. All of our lines are full, folks. We should have such problems as we have. I guess I'll talk to, well, I said Tom from Washington. I don't know if anybody has a, he's on line 4. It says line 4. All right. So, is this Tom or is this somebody else? Can you hear me? Michael? Is this Michael? Or Tom?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
What is your name?
My name's Tom from Washington.
Oh, you're Tom. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, speak up a little, Tom.
Yeah, well, I spoke with a friend of mine who seduced his mother.
You spoke with a friend who seduced his mother?
No, we both seduced his mother.
You both seduced his mother. Oh, my God. Sarah's favorite topic. Okay. Modulate that laugh now.
I'm sorry.
When you're
going to
laugh like that, just... That's right. Lean back. Okay, so we're sorry for... We don't mean to laugh at you, first of all. However, Sarah gets very excited over these kind of incestuous calls.
Yeah.
And sometimes she expresses her excitement in a raucous laugh.
All right, go on. Tell us your sexy story.
Okay, well, when I was going to school with him...
Yes.
You know, he invited me over to his house for supper.
Uh-huh.
And his mother's a divorced mother.
Yes.
And she's all sexed up.
A MILF.
You know, she's all really nice looking.
Yes.
With her big tits hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, my friend says, hey, Tom, you want to fuck my mom with me? I said, no way, she's not going to do that. And he said, oh, yeah, watch. So we both seduced her, and next, you know, we end up in the bedroom, and we're going at it with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I watched him fuck.
He did it first, or did you do it first? Who went first?
Well, he did it first.
So how did it go down? I mean, how did it seem like they'd done it before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they have a thing where... They do each other and various fortunate friends of his?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But I know when I was there with him.
You know what?
What?
I heard an intake of breath that sounded like masturbation.
Pardon?
Are you, masturbating?
Yeah.
Okay. At least you're honest. All right. So, is this a true story or a fantasy?
No, it's true.
Is it really? All right. How old are you?
I'm 19.
Uh-huh. And your friend is also 19?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm really starting to hear the masturbation sounds. So,
penis cat.
Penis cat. There you go. Say penis cat, Tom.
Penis
Not penis, penis cap. That's a whole other thing. Penis cap.
Oh, sexy.
Yeah.
So that's a big fantasy, and it's actually a big reality. A lot of that.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out, if this is real or not.
Well, I have experienced that as a young man.
You
actually
had sex with a friend's mother and
yes,
him.
Yes, and him. Yes,
really.
We both had sex with her.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. It's not common, and of course, and it's in a lot of erotic books and literary literature. So you know,
it sounds more believable than the paper girl story.
What is, you know, that's very prosecutable today.
So let's prosecutable,
especially
for
by
her.
younger. If you're younger than a certain age.
Well, but he's 19.
No, I understand. But this happens, you know, much younger.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess.
So.
But
what do you think about that, Doc? Like 16-year-old boys having sex with one of the boys' mother.
What do I think about it? Well, it's illegal.
I mean, aside from that, ethically, morally, is there some issue here?
It's
that,
two different issues. Are you asking about the mom one or the 16 one?
No, I'm talking about the mom, you know.
Okay, so let's eliminate the 16.
Let me bring it to another level.
Let's bring it over 16 so we don't complicate things with that question.
No, actually, it's very important because more and more women teachers are being arrested today, for example, for having sex with teenage boys, which has been something that's been going on for centuries. How does that work?
I have a story about that, if you guys ever want to hear it.
No, I'm interested. I mean, this is an old classical story.
All right, what's your story?
All right, so when I was 20, I got invited to go back and teach this science club at my old junior high after school once a week.
Uh-oh.
Right, and I was like kind of hot and hip, and I was raving. I was like a cool kid, you know? So I go to teach this science class. And all these, like, bad kids are in the science class because they had bad grades, so they were forced to take the class. So these are, like, little boys that are, like, starting to do drugs and, like, starting to party, starting to go to raves. I mean, starting to be
the
girls. They're, like, 12 and 13.
Ooh.
That's how old these boys are. Yeah. And I'm, like, 20, you know? Mm. So I'm, like, the hot, older woman.
Sure.
These boys were all over me.
Of course, I swear
to God, the whole time. I'd walk into class, and they'd be like, "Hi, Sarah," and they'd come hang around me, and they'd, like, pull my hair, or, like, they'd go, like, "Yeah, my brother's having a party this weekend. You should come to my brother's party," you know? And, like, it was really weird, because to me, these boys were
predators.
Throwing their game as much as any other guy throws their game. They were predators, exactly.
Right,
it was all them. I didn't say anything or do anything to inspire it, and they didn't let down, and I was like, no, I'm not going to hang with you, no, and they just kept it up, until finally I was like, I can't teach this class anymore, you know, I'm like, I'm too close to these kids' age, and I genuinely understand where they're coming from, you know, that they're experimenting with pot, and they're starting to smoke cigarettes, and I find it really adorable, and so, so I can't be there, and I ended up having to leave, and, you know, it was tough.
It's tough.
They all joined Mellow, and they all wanted to come to the Mellow parties, and I was like, stay away from me, 13-year-old.
You know, I mean, I certainly do feel for these women that are getting busted all over the place.
Well, and, you know, 1940s, 1950s, it was a very common thing in a very repressed era, and today it's a criminal act, you know, and I have many good memories of older women and who have taught me so much.
I think there's definitely a gender difference there. Like, I don't think little girls with their seductive powers are as
forceful
like a little boy.
Although when you talk to some men that are very turned on by that, they sound so helpless. I mean,
they talk about
girls that are very forceful.
Well,
actually, some girls can be forceful.
I was kind of
edgy
and seductive, and you know,
yeah, they're deceitful more.
You know, it's such a complicated question. I have to say, because it's so highly illegal and so highly unacceptable in our society, and yet, of course, the whole idea of teenage is just a very complicated time.
But we all remember being that age and being wild and crazy.
But do you? I mean, to me, it's a tragic situation where you jail a teacher or a professor. But worse than that is where you guilt. Where you guilt the child, and really, really stamp him as some horrible thing that's happened to him when we're talking about a buxom, wonderful teacher
right.
who has sex with him, which is the most wonderful thing any kid at that age, as I remember, could happen.
Yeah, it's a great achievement.
Kanan Brumley is taking a break from editing and would like to speak.
Oh, all right. Kanan Brumley!
Okay, well.
I mean, our lines are all filled up, but
celebrity.
We will push the celebrity,
yes.
the famous documentary famous. Filmmaker, Kanan Brumley.
And what line is he on?
He's on the line. Ears open,
what
eyeballs
line?
Click.
Yes.
The most stolen documentary
of
on
all
the
time. My ears are open. What line is
he's
he on?
He's on line four.
Line four. Here we go.
Hello, Kanan.
Hello.
Did you hear that introduction?
Yay, it's Kanan.
I was taking a break from editing. I was sitting here listening to this radio show of yours and just felt so compelled to call in and talk to you guys.
I think
maybe it was the sentiment of missing everyone's voice or maybe just the inspiration from this whole idea of fantasies as a child, you know?
Right. It's fantasy night. And also,
yeah.
tonight's word is penis cat.
Penis cat, can you say it, Kanan?
Yeah, penis cat.
Said it.
Oh, Kanan, we miss you too.
Well, let's tell you, Kanan is just an extraordinary filmmaker. And he has been working very hard in a very difficult environment.
this environment.
An environment of different kinds of things going on, to death and imprisonment.
Gosh, you've been trying to just make a little movie, and people have died, almost died, been in prison, you know.
But the movie's called Speakeasy, and he is working on it, and we are all breathing heavily, waiting.
We've had a couple of people die.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, quite tragic. Quite
it
tragic.
Really is. Well, that's what happens in life, is, you know, you meet enough people, and then they'll be dying all over the place.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't call to make anyone sad. I just wanted to make everyone laugh.
Okay.
I had a couple of my own stories I wanted to share from my childhood fantasies.
Ooh, did you do a teacher?
Of teachers. Oh, my gosh,
oh.
Yes. The only fantasies I've really ever had that were tremendous were from teachers.
Right.
Ooh, do share.
So I'm gonna
were you one
I'm
of those bad boys that had a teacher like Sarah?
That tried to seduce her?
No. I never had a teacher I tried to seduce, but... what I did do is one of my teachers that I first had a crush on, I actually went home, and I was in third grade, and I decided I was going to try to sketch a drawing of what I thought her vagina looked like.
Aw, that's so cute.
Yes. And I thought, you know what, this will be my way of, you know, basically experiencing
her
my
vagina.
First... my first time, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was able to go home and you know, I was maybe unfortunate or fortunate enough to have, you know, I grew up poor, so my mother decided she was going to make me take a bath with her every time she took a bath to conserve water, which
so
is probably the right thing
vagina.
To do in any society is to conserve water, especially now.
I was trying to see how poor related to seeing vagina, but
yeah,
you cleared
sense.
That right up.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, put it together. I mean, imagine now, you know, with water shortages in California and prices
you know,
of water.
You know, I used to have
up.
To take baths with my cousins because of water shortages.
There
now
you
that
go.
You mentioned, I
yes,
just remembered that.
We're all taking baths. We're all
I
taking
used to have
baths
to take baths with my brother, and those were pretty naughty baths.
Mm.
Penis,
yeah,
cat.
Penis cat. Penis cat.
And wait a minute. You know, you need to go back only one generation or so, and even today around the world and in some of the poverty-stricken areas of this country, whole families live in one room. So there is no hiding anything.
Not at all.
Right.
No hiding. And, you know, in children, it's like, it seems like, no one wants to really hide anything from the children, at least when I was growing up, and it seemed like everyone else when they were growing up, there was no hiding. It just seemed like when we got older, we were told, okay,
yeah.
that's not right, but, you know, when you're a kid, everything's okay.
I remember that. My mom would just let her vagina hang out, not care.
Well,
yeah, when
sure.
I was a kid.
Well, you had an interesting mom, too. Kanan. I've heard some great stories of your mom, you know, and many of us had
she
moms
was
like
a hot
that.
Mom, yeah, or know. Maybe still is.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a hot mom.
My mom was the kind of mom that, I think I told this story before to you guys, that I lost one of my babysitters on her 16th birthday because she gave her a tube of Vaseline as a gift. And when the 16-year-old said, well, what is the Vaseline for? She said, oh, you just rub a little bit on the vagina before you make sex. And the mom of the 16-year-old babysitter
fantastic.
Said, get out of my house.
Oh, my
no
God.
More babysitting. No more babysitting your son. Don't ever come back.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Vaseline, of course, makes condoms fall apart. It's not a very good thing to tell a young girl to use Vaseline.
Right. His mom had a bunch of kids, though, so.
Right. She did. She didn't really want the condoms to stay together. So, Kanan. So, anyways, you were drawing a picture of this school teacher, her vagina. Did you present it to her?
You know, and I'd never seen the woman's vagina, but I thought, okay, I'm going to try to draw it and add the pubic hair to it, and so I ended up taking it to class the following day. And thought it would be nice to kind of pass it around and share it with the other children there, what I thought this teacher's vagina looked like.
Right.
And,
that would be nice.
I had
in
no
a,
idea
in a
you were
perfect
so
world.
Bad. This is yep. just...
So whatever.
Bad
boy
so innocent. Activity. So sweet about it.
No, he says it like he was sweet, but you know he was a predator.
I bet he was sweet about it.
Oh,
I
no,
can't
no,
imagine
I,
him
no
being
predator.
A predator.
I just,
not at
no,
all.
I
he just has this drawing of a vagina, and he wants to show people.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to show people because I think, you know what, other people would like
because
to
because he's
well.
An artist.
Right. I understand.
It's
I can't
art.
Judge.
It's art. He's
I can't
got,
judge.
He's created
okay,
a
but,
painting.
You know, beyond that...
I couldn't imagine that the other children in the room weren't also fantasizing about this teacher because she was drop-dead gorgeous for a, mm-hmm. a 35-year-old science teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're passing around the class. The teacher notices we're passing around a piece of paper. She says, oh, stop, let me see that piece of paper. What are you guys passing around the class? So she goes and takes it from one kid, and I'm thinking, okay, no one's going to tell on me that I was the one who started passing it around. Well... It, not even a second later, the kid points me out and says, hey, he's the one that passed around the sketch of your vagina. And she immediately sends me to the principal's office. And I sit in the principal's office for about a good 45 minutes. And he gives me the options. He says, I can either call your mother and tell her what you did, or I can give you a paddling.
Oh, paddling!
I didn't know
he chose
story
the paddling!
It's so good!
Yeah, so he gave me a choice of... You have to tell your mother, or you get this nice paddling. So I said, well, let me think about it for a while.
Oh, God, that's Kanan.
And I could not believe the man said, okay, well, come back at the end of the day and tell me what you're doing. So me being the creative individual I am, I thought, okay, well, I'll just go to gym class, put on a pair of my gym shorts on top of my underwear, and then put on my jeans, and maybe that'll give me a little extra cushion, and I'll choose the paddling. Which ultimately, that's what I did. I chose the paddling. I got three good whacks. Went back to him and said, I choose the paddling. He gave me three good whacks. So on top of drawing the vagina and fantasizing about the teacher, I also got this paddling on top of it.
Wow, that
so,
is a
they're like,
key story.
You have teacher fetishes. Watch this.
Yeah.
We're going to take it up a notch.
Spanky.
Yeah, And I really don't have any other...
And you actually went back for the spanking, because I was thinking...
Great sexual experiences other than that one. Yes.
I thought when you said that the teacher, the principal gave you a chance, you know, to think about it, that you would kind of just go home.
Oh, no. He said come back by the end of the day before you go home.
But
this was like...
You
by, like,
could have gone home.
No, he follows
in
rules.
The morning.
But he follows rules. He
they
got
didn't
his
have
paddling.
A no drawing pictures of your teacher's
now,
vagina
and,
rule, or he would have followed that.
And Kanan, this was how many years ago? About.
Well, the reason why I remember it so so much is because I think just like 3 days before that, this was in my science class. So I'm thinking it's 1986 because. Mm-hmm. We actually, the teacher brought in the television to watch the space shuttle. It was the Challenger go up into space, and it blew up that day.
Okay. Do you know what would happen today if you did that? What the teacher would have to do?
report you to the police.
Yeah, they'd have
Homeland
to,
Security.
Yeah, no,
they probably report
no, no,
you
seriously,
to some authority.
Seriously,
yeah,
they have to
more than the principal.
They have to report you to social services because it's an indication that perhaps you are obsessed with sex or are being abused sexually in some way. So today, the officers from the social services would go to your home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's tragic.
They have to investigate.
Yes,
they have
and
to
investigate. Yeah, that's a really tragic situation. It's a little bit as what happened to what's his name, Ugly Man, or what was his
Nasty
name?
Nasty Man.
Nasty Man. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
who had his child here at a broadcast in a room with a babysitter, and social services didn't leave him alone for months.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's what would happen today. Now,
so you got away with it with just three whacks. That's
right.
Not bad.
And not
three
much
whacks.
And
yeah.
Not much trauma. You weren't taken away from your home.
It really didn't hurt at all either. I think
right.
He went gentle on me because I think he really appreciated this photo, this drawing that I made. It was very photorealistic.
See, I knew
it
was artistic.
It was basically a my mother's vagina on paper, because that's the only one I'd seen.
Never seen.
Right.
And I just kind of made it a little bit more kind of cleaned up, not so hairy, and
uh-huh.
a little more sophisticated, and, you know,
right.
treated it like it was, you know, a little bit avant-garde, and, you know, I was proud of it. I wanted to share it with the rest of the class, and
exactly.
Very, very secretively, and, but I got three whacks out of it, and I think to this date I haven't had a better sexual encounter experience other than...
Well, I don't know what that says, but that was a good sexual story of, you know, kind of adults grappling with this child. And, you know, I guess that they did what they could. At least they didn't do anything traumatizing.
Yeah, they were very much in those years to sort of on a religious basis to try to change people. Now it's become a very political police issue, and that's the desexualization of children. You don't touch children, you don't get near children, you don't talk to strangers. It's a state of fear that they now have created. And it's really horrific. It's really terrible where children are taken away. 20,000 children. 20,000 children. That's 20,000 children were taken away last year from homes here in Los Angeles County. That's huge. That's preparing them for prison. These are the children
exactly.
of the state. When I was in prison not too long ago, most of the kids that were in jail were kids that were taken away from their homes. These are children of the state, and that's what's going on. Anyway, very, very interesting, because it's an old erotic story. I think we've all had them in one way or another, and now they have become police cases.
They pretty much have, you know. They are certainly big stories. So
instead of getting spanked for drawing vaginas, today they get taken away and
that's
put
right.
into the state home.
They
yep.
would be
and in a state home where
certainly reported.
Where they're beaten, abused, and all kinds of other tragic things happen to them. We lose so many kids that die in foster homes. I mean, truthfully, it's better that the parents kill them than some foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's going to kill the kid. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, it's tragic.
So.
All right, on to other things.
Well, like I said, I just want to call and share that story with you, hear everybody's voice. I was listening to you guys on live broadcast place, and it was pushing me through this late night of editing. And
you never called the show before. It's exciting.
It was nice actually
it's very
to share
exciting.
The story.
We've been talking about how we want to come visit you down there with the bonobos near the zoo.
Oh, yes, by all means.
So,
that's next
means.
Weekend.
Train, plane, or automobile?
Let's go next weekend. We'll take a train.
Yeah.
And then we'll ride a rickshaw to his house.
Yeah, nice little train. We'll go down. Okay, we've got all kinds of stuff going on here. I don't know what's going on over
miss
there.
Miss you, Kanan.
Yeah, Kanan, so are you actually editing, or did you just say that?
No, I'm editing right now.
What are you editing?
I'm editing that footage I told you earlier about the black and white opening. I was tossing around a couple different ideas through it and kind of moving it around. The footage of you in front of
Delano. Oh, the footage of me standing outside in Delano and Sarah's in the car.
And I was writing the... I actually have like three different versions of the opening narration of it. And trying to figure out if it's going to work or not in my brain. But again, I have you standing out in front of the Delano prison sign with this long stretch of black top highway waiting on Max to be delivered from the gate.
Do you have the sheriff coming up to me and telling me to get back?
I have that too. If you remember, I had a mic on you, so I'm being able to hear everything he says.
Wow.
You were trying to basically, you're telling him, like, yeah, I'm waiting for my husband, and he's not concerned about you because he's looking down at me with his camera. So he's basically, he just wants to tell you, hey, look, you got to get back in your car, and then he speeds off as you're trying to tell him more of, hey, well, when is he going to get out, or when are you guys going to release him? And he takes off straight for me, makes a beeline for me.
Wow.
So
right.
Obviously that's not in it, but... I do have you pacing back in front of this prison sign.
Oh, there was a lot of pacing. Right. Because
so,
they
and
were...
I put it in black and white, and then I have the shot of coming around the guard shack. It's also in black and white, and then that fades up back into color. And just trying to decide if it seems like an appropriate opening or not, you know.
I don't know.
So this is what I do now. I sit here and in all in my lonesome.
Aww. Well, we'll come down and visit you, and I
yeah, we're actually thinking of coming down here fairly soon.
Yeah.
Because it's Susan's birthday, and we were thinking about going to visit the bonobos and Lana at the zoo.
Lana, my girl Lana.
I'll come visit all the time if I can just bring my laptop and work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Encourage Canon to edit, elbow him.
Yeah.
Edit our movie, Canon. Edit our movie.
Well, I'll come sleep in the extra room there where you're editing.
I'm working. I'm doing two jobs at once. I'm a working fool. Go to the Facebook page that we're shared to, I actually just I posted a preview to the new series that I'm releasing for the boot camp stuff. So all the stuff that was that didn't make it into the original movie is now made it into this series that hopefully HBO will want to pick up for me.
Is it still called Ears Open, Eyeballs Click?
It's that, but it has an extra additive to it. So the first chapter will be called Ears Open, Eyeballs Click, Chapter 1, Receiving.
Yes.
And being received into this madness.
Right.
It's really the first 24 hours of boot camp that never made it into the original picture.
Wow.
That I will be releasing. So it's really, you're getting to see it without really any censorship or any editing.
Cool.
Which I know the Marine Corps is going to be disappointed. But you know, it's important. It's important for people to see.
Right.
See that as well. So, you know.
Great. All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to it, and we'll look on you're on MySpace, but you're not on Twitter, Kanan. You have to Twitter about it.
I don't understand Twitter. Actually, I haven't even looked at Twitter.
You've got to be on Twitter.
Editing that the Facebook thing is even a stretch for me. I actually just placed a couple previews up there on Facebook just for the locals.
I think, Kanan, you need someone else to run your social presence for you.
I was wondering if we should just have a speakeasy Twitter, like Speakeasy the Movie.
Right.
Kind of a Twitter that just Twitters when you do something. So you want to just put it out there when something is put on Facebook or whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, I'm pushing through it. It's, you know, I'm hoping I'll surprise everyone and be done way before I think I might be done, but...
I think you will.
I'll remind everyone, I shot 250 hours of Speakeasy, and in that 250 hours, only about 100 minutes will survive. And the sad part is butchering They're 248 hours.
Well, it's kind of sad, except that look what happened with Ears Open, Eyeballs Click. You made a normal length movie, and now you're putting out more footage. So that might happen with Speakeasy.
Exactly.
Stranger things have happened. So, you know, let's consider this the first installment.
Yeah.
I mean,
it should be the
best, of course, whatever
that
means.
That's kind of how I'm looking at it, too. But at the same time, I always set out to try to only make one movie. And this boot camp thing kind of evolved into something that I didn't even discover that it should become a series until 4 or 5 years later. And I think that actually just came from so many fans that had basically sent emails to me saying, requesting that I would release something else. But right now, like I said, I'm mostly fighting with people that are illegally putting up the entire movie on the internet. It's such a, you know, I think I told you the other day, that's kind of how I knew that I may have made it in life, though, is when people are stealing from me.
Yeah, so that's how I introduced you, the most stolen documentary filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
The most stolen from.
All right, I have registered as well as tweeted the very first tweet.
For Speakeasy the movie?
Speakeasy movie.
Speakeasy movie.
Speakeasy movie.
Sarah, you're just brilliant. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kanan.
No.
I will.
What is the tweet? Tell us the tweet.
It says, Kanan Brumley called into Radio Suzy 1 with a Speakeasy movie update today.
Wow. Great.
So every time I get new news, I'll tweet for you,
I'm
going
to have to friend that thing. Speakeasy the movie. Yeah, Speakeasy movie. Okay, cool. Okay, Kanan, we have to talk to other people, actually, I think. But we could talk to you all night.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Hey,
Kanan.
Great hearing from you.
Yeah, call every week with an update.
Yeah.
Hey, can you guys do me one more favor tonight, though?
Sure.
Can you all maybe draw a couple of vaginas for me and sign your name to it just for memory?
Okay, only if you say penis cat 3 times.
Penis cat. All right.
All right.
Two more times.
Penis cat.
Penis cat.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're going to
draw
vaginas. Yeah.
Can I draw mine right now? Give me an index card.
Okay.
Good night. Good night.
Okay.
Bye, Kanan.
Bye.
Okay. Who else? What other line? You just tell me a line. Ricky from California on line 1. Or maybe it's Lee on line 1. Hello, is this Ricky? Hello? You're on the air.
Hi, doctor.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
I just called and listening and see if this was the fantasy line, correct?
Oh, this is our friend in Kansas, right?
No, this is Robert McLean in Missouri.
Missouri. That's what I meant. Missouri.
The guy in the wheelchair that owes us money.
No, this is another guy.
Oh,
this is another guy?
Yeah, but he might as well be.
No.
But no, this is another guy. He's a little bit slow.
I'm not the one that...
He talks in a monotone and he actually...
Yeah, he calls
the radio show a lot.
I call you all the time.
Yeah,
right,
sometimes he's entertaining, but most of the time he drives us nuts.
I'm a caller and I call you all the time.
Yeah, right.
I still think you owe us money.
What did you owe you money for?
Well, just
for all these free sex therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just call for free. Right. You should send us a donation to the bonobos. Help save the bonobos. Okay? All right.
Okay.
All right.
You be good.
Take care, Michael.
Good kid. Okay. Bye.
Okay, so now what other line is going here?
Have we somebody on line 1, but I don't know if it's a client or what it is. And we haven't given any commercials right now,
Well, we only have 4 minutes left of show, right?
No, actually, that's incorrect, because remember, we started late, so I'm actually on a different time schedule than what they're doing.
All right.
And here we go. Okay.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't...
Kid.
I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, Whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
And we're back on Radio Susie One, broadcasting live from the speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. And I have Mike from Mello on line one. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Cool.
Enjoying the show.
Good.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
You know who that is, Mike?
I believe that was Sarah.
As long as we all know, we don't want to plan a trip.
I do hope that you called up with a sexy teacher story, since that's part of
the theme
of the night.
I have something slightly embarrassing to share.
Oh, all right.
For insight.
Wait, before you tell it, can you say penis cat?
Penis cat.
All right. Tell us your story.
Okay, so 2 years ago I started dating this girl who was saving herself for marriage. We've recently broken up. With the exception of a recent incident, I have not had sex in 2 years. And I'm actually nervous to even approach another girl about dating, let alone thinking about sex with someone.
Okay. So you're nervous, but,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people are nervous.
How many people have you had sex with total?
Six.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't really...
How old are you? I just wanted to make sure
it wasn't one.
Your age...
I'm 23.
Okay. Six people at 23 is, you know, at least batting average, right? That's average. So now you feel traumatized, is that it?
I wouldn't say traumatized. I'm just nervous at the thought of doing it with someone again after having not in so long.
Why, you're afraid you don't know what to do?
I'm afraid that I'm going to embarrass myself.
By coming too quickly or not coming at all? What, coming too quickly?
Too quickly.
Oh, that's relatively easy to
deal with. Everybody comes quickly the first time.
Yeah, that's number one, is that it's not a big deal. Most women aren't that upset about it.
You just got to do it twice in a row.
Well, yeah. Can you do that? Can you kind of,
yeah.
I mean, you can take a period of time where you do things that don't involve your penis, cat. You know, after you come, then you kind of go down on her for a while and tell her romantic stories or cook her dinner, and then you perform again. And then you won't come so quick because it'll be the second time.
Makes sense.
It does make sense, and it usually works. I mean, do you find that you can come quickly twice in a row in a night? Or do you think?
I've never actually, to my knowledge, come twice.
Okay.
I can go the distance, I can go for a while, but I don't know that I've climaxed twice, actually.
Well, you might not climax the second time, but you will get hard. I mean, I think so. Have you ever tried getting hard after you've come?
I've gotten hard multiple times after.
Okay. You are normal.
That's good to know.
So, you know, and it's also normal to feel a little gun-shy after you've been a little burned, but at the same time, you know, that don't give in to that. everybody gets burned. And you move on, and you get burned again. That's life. Hopefully you won't burn
up. In fact,
up.
Life, in some perspectives, is just a series of burns.
Burns. Burns and burns until
from
you
from another
burn
perspective,
up.
It's a series of wins. You know? Like, it goes both ways. There's a whole bunch of heartache, and there's a whole bunch of heart good.
Yeah, there's good. Most of the good lies in hope.
Hope. Jesus. You say that and my hopes sink. Like, right. Oh, if hope is all I have, I'm fucked.
Well, hope is a wonderful thing.
I think, okay, let me...
That's
let me
an important it. Thing. That's why it's important to make yourself look forward to things. It's important to go, you know what? The other side of the coin of nervousness is excitement. And yes, I'm nervous because this is an exciting thing, and maybe it will be. The other side is, yeah, one, you know, often relationships burn you, and they're difficult. And that's life, and that's the joy of life, is getting through them. Challenges.
Sex is also a great joy in life. You don't want to miss out on sex because of some drama, you know?
You agree with that, don't you, on your penis cat?
Right. Penis cat needs to be kept happy.
Yeah.
That's true, she does.
Ooh.
She.
Penis cat allows us to gender personify penis as a female. That's pretty hot.
Penis as a female.
If penis is a she, then I want to do it so much more.
Really?
Yes. I empathize with it now.
Huh.
Penis and me, we both have hormones.
Well, I like penis cat. I don't know that a cat is necessarily a she. A pussy is a she.
Right, I have two male cats.
But there's, yeah, exactly. There's that tomcat kind of thing to penis cat.
Ooh, Tom
like cat. Or like the jazz way, like he's
Tomcat,
cool
does
cat,
everybody.
Penis cat,
cool cat. I'm a penis cat.
Yeah. So,
I don't think you should be worried, though. That's my opinion. I mean, sex is sometimes awkward. It's sometimes awesome.
Is there anything else that's really worrying you besides coming too fast?
No, that's pretty much it. Just the worry that I might not be able to perform as well as I think I should be able to.
Well, what does perform mean? One thing it means is the performance of your penis, yes, but it is a lot more than that.
I'm used to giving girls multiple orgasms, and I'm afraid that maybe since it's been so long, I might not be as adequate a lover as I used to be.
Well, you know, there's a reasonable concern there, because you haven't been practicing, so you have to practice, so don't stay away from it. I mean, you know, if you were a musician and you stayed away from playing your musical instrument
3 minutes,
you know, you would feel, gosh, I'm going to be rusty when I pick it up. But if you let your feeling of being rusty stop you from picking it up, you will completely forget how to play. So don't let it stop you. Get out there and practice safe sex. And don't do anyone under 18.
And most women aren't expecting the world. In fact, we're expecting to be disappointed. So
yeah, there you go.
If you slightly overachieve, our minds will be blown.
Right, look, you know, we're easy.
Very easy.
Okay, we got to get going, I believe.
Yeah, we're wrapping up.
We do, but...
Seriously, though, you're fine. Fuck her like crazy.
But don't get too twisted up. Go for it.
Thank you.
All right. See you on Twitter.
Bye.
Bye.
Twitter sex. Twitter sex Tuesday is coming. Everybody out there, get your Twitters on.
I'm going to have sex with Speakeasy Movie, this Twitter sex.
Wow. Right. Yeah, that would be cool.
I got to.
You got a picture on there?
A little picture of Wallace and an ass. You know that picture, right?
Wallace and Inez.
And an ass.
Oh, and an ass.
Minute and a half.
Okay.
Her name might be Inez.
Oh, yeah. That is a great picture.
It's
a great speakeasy picture. Very iconic. With our fabulous curtains.
And the piano.
And the piano.
She's bent over the piano.
Right. Beautiful.
And Wallace is very nervous, adjusting his tie.
Yeah. And being very aroused.
Yes.
In that curmudgeonly way of his. Yeah, Speakeasy the movie, coming soon.
Oh, I wish I could go back in time and do Wallace.
Minute and
now
half.
That he's dead.
Now
see?
That he's dead, I wish
see,
I could
think
do
about that in the minute we have left. If you think that if someone dies, you're going to wish you had done them, maybe you should do them before they die.
I should have done him, but he would have gotten too much satisfaction out
he
of that.
He would have, okay. So,
but if I knew he was going to die, I would want to
okay,
give him
we'll
that satisfaction.
We'll talk about this next time.
Oh, no, we won't, but okay.
We probably will.
1 minute.
Sometime we'll talk right. about it. So thank you, Sarah Sue. Thank you, Sister Lisa, and Brother Max, and Brother Skip, and Sister Felicia, and Brother Sister Mar, and... the penis cat. Oh, and, oh, Lillian. Oh, thank you, Lillian. Sister Lillian. I forgot about Lillian. Lillian was disappeared. I can never forget about Lillian. So we're going to go. We're going to be back next Saturday. And so we hope you you stay good. Try to stay legal. And yet, you know, pursue and cultivate the pleasures of life. Make love, not war. Make like the bonobos, not the baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.